Arizona News Radio. Emotional testimony at the Jody Arias murder trial about the time that she killed ex-boyfriend Travis Alexander and what she said was self-defense.
I was in the bathroom. I remember dropping the knife and it clanged to the tile. It made a big noise. And I just remember screaming.
She said she doesn't actually remember the stabbing. Tucson gets a lot of measurable snow today.
Snowfall across southeast Arizona is not too rare of a thing, but as far as it getting down to elevations below, 2,500 feet or 2,000 feet, is fairly uncommon.
Mesa police had to shoot a woman who threatened them. They wanted to arrest her for an outstanding warrant.
The officer, of course, was giving commands for her to drop the weapon. Which she did not do, and at some point she began to raise her arm, and at that point the officer discharged.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of York Haven X traffic is a service of the BNP Paribas Open. Surface streets, lots of activity. Let's go. 19th Avenue and Indian School, 27th Avenue north of Camelback. Another wreck, 32nd Street north of McDowell. Look for an accident, 23rd Avenue at Van Buren. Another one at Central Avenue and Northern. The world's best tennis stars come to Indian Wells for the BNP Paribas Open, March 4th through the 17th. Tickets and hotel packages go to bnpparibasopen.com. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFX Weather Center. A pretty good cold winter storm moving through with snow level down to 3,000 feet. Scattered showers gradually tapering off for us. Some pretty good totals. 58 tomorrow under partly cloudy skies. 62 on Friday. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we are at 50 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds. You're up to date.
Because Wendy switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her vacation savings jar wants to pat her on the back. But it can't. It's a vacation savings jar. It doesn't have a palm to pat with. Even if it tried, it'd just spill change everywhere and make a mess. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the extra cash, you'll know your vacation savings jar wants to pat you on the back. But remember, it can't. It's a jar. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Geico says, let's make life simpler.
It's a fact of modern life. Switching isn't easy. Your bank, your cable company, your girlfriend. Let's just say each switch comes with a certain degree of difficulty. But switching to Geico, now that couldn't be easier. First of all, it only takes 15 minutes. And just like that, you could be saving hundreds on car insurance. No muss, no fuss, no irate, vengeful, significant others.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
When I grew up,
you're out of order.
I want to be a lawyer just like you.
You're out of order.
Good for you, son.
The whole trial is out of order.
If there's one thing America needs,
they're out of order.
It's more lawyers.
Oh. Got my pride hanging out of my bed.
Welcome to Legalese. Your host, Jack Willinchek. Dennis Willinchek is engaged in the pressing matters of an attorney and couldn't make it today. But I have a very, very couple of special guests today. My guest for the first three segments of the show is Justin Johnson, who's running for Phoenix City Council. You may remember his father, Paul Johnson, mayor of the town for many years. And for the last segment of the show, we've got Dennis Miller coming on. And I'll admit to you, those of you listening in the listening audience, that is a pre-taped segment because Dennis's voice will be heard in that final segment. But we're very happy to have Dennis on the show. He'll be talking about an upcoming visit to Phoenix for his Boulder and Fresher tour, which I believe is this coming weekend. But as I said, that's for the last segment of the show. I'm talking to Justin Johnson right now, who's running for Phoenix City Council District 4. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it. And I appreciate KFNX having me on the show.
Hey, they appreciate you. You're a young man, I can tell, just looking at you. I'm a young man, too, but I'm slightly younger, I think. How old are you?
I'm 32 years old.
That's pretty amazing. So you're running for Phoenix City Council at 32 years old. Wasn't your dad was he the youngest mayor in the history of Phoenix?
He was. He initially ran for city council when he was 21 years old.
Wow.
And it was an unsuccessful campaign. Actually, he ran against a gentleman named Barry Starr and then ran again after Barry had been termed out at 23 years old and actually won his first seat for city council at 23. and then actually received the appointment to become the mayor of Phoenix at 29 years old and ran for re-election and won for his second term. So
wow,
I'm a little bit behind the ball.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but no, you're following in his footsteps. That's great. So what do you do for a living?
I'm a home builder and general contractor. We have a small family operation. I'm partners actually with my father, Paul Johnson, my uncle, Rob Johnson, and we literally in our firm, my grandmother and my aunt Elizabeth, and all work within our company. And then we have a group of accountants that are actually family members and related that work within the company too. So it's a small family-oriented construction company.
Yeah, I know how that works. You know, I work with my dad, and typically he's here on the show unless he is trying to be out there and make money. So
that seems to be important these days.
Yeah. But let's see here. Where did you go to college?
So I graduated in 2004 from Occidental College with a degree in economics.
All right. So you're an economics man, huh?
I am.
Are you an Arizona native?
I am. I was actually born and raised in Phoenix. I was born at John C. Lincoln Hospital. I grew up mostly in the Sunny Slope area, up until about college, and then moved back home after college and have lived here ever since.
Yeah, you know, I was just telling you off the air, I just moved up into the Sunny Slope. I'm kind of getting acquainted with that area. When I was a kid, I lived up in Cave Creek, so I used to kind of drive through Sunny Slope, but I never really got to know it that well. There's a lot of cool little spots there.
Sunny Slope is a great location. I mean, like I said, I grew up there, and so I'm a little bit biased for the most part. But, you know, the last couple of city council members that represented Sunny Slope and the current council member now, which is Councilman Bill Gates, they really have done an excellent job at trying to revitalize some of the different communities there to try and spur economic growth within the community, new businesses, et cetera. I mean, they really have put a good focus on it. It's a great community. And Sunny Slope High School, as I'm sure you know, is a great school now. I mean, they are a performing plus or grade A school, depending on which chart you're going off of, the old chart or the new chart.
Right, right. So so you're running for Phoenix City Council in District 4. What is District 4? Does that include part of Sunny Slope?
So it doesn't include part of Sunny Slope. It actually does include portions of the old city council district that my dad used to represent, who was also born and raised in the Sunny Slope area. But more or less, it falls along McDowell Road to Missouri. It goes as far out to 61st Avenue to 24th Street. And it kind of looks like a V pointing north. So
pretty big
district. It has 27 of the 35 historic districts inside District 4. A lot of historic preservation, which is, as you know, a great destination for young professionals and families looking to start up families and that sort of thing. It's just a great area.
You're kind of on, I guess, the border of the art district there, which is kind of that McDowell area. And then what did you say was the eastern edge of it?
So along McDowell, it goes out to 24th Street.
24th Street.
Carves in towards
Campbell.
Yeah, it's
pretty diverse. Because there you got kind of Biltmore area, which is much more upscale. And yeah, it is a pretty diverse district. Are you married?
I am. So my wife, Lauren, who I'm assuming is listening to the show, so hopefully you don't mind I'd say hi, Lauren.
And I also shout out to Lauren.
Yes, I also have two children, my son, Cohen, who's about 4 years old. He'll be four March 4th, actually, so it's coming up here pretty soon. And then my daughter, Cooper, who is 1 year old.
That's a good name. Cohen means priest in Hebrew. Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah, I'm sure you did your research.
So I actually didn't know that until after we picked the name. But, we saw the show called Orange County back, you know, in our college days, and there was a kid on there. His last name was Cohen, and everybody, that was his nickname, and that's kind of how we decided to pick that name for.
That's cool.
So.
If people want to learn more about you, of course, I'm sure you got a website. What's the website?
Sure. So the website, it actually isn't up quite yet. I mean, we have our first email blast that we sent out up on our under our domain name, so you can pull it up. You can go on there, click on the link, follow us on Twitter. It's www.johnsonforphoenix.com, which is F-O-R, johnsonforphoenix.com. And you can go on there today. You can see the first email blast that we sent out to roughly 50,000-plus people, and that we, you know, have had a great response to, and a lot of people have clicked through to it and are now following us on Facebook. So that's another piece that you can – that's Johnson for Phoenix also on the Facebook domain. So you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all the great social media networks.
Sure.
We're trying to be a part of them.
Including radio, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I know you're just getting started with your campaign, obviously. In fact, I think you're saying after this you've got a little kickoff event.
Yes. So it's our official kickoff. For the most part, I've tried to focus on meeting with different business organizations, neighborhood leaders, neighborhood associations. I've been going to pretty much every single neighborhood association block watch event that I can attend in the city and, in the District 4 area, meeting with people, talking with them about their concerns. And I think council members do a great job, but often I think we forget to listen first and ask questions and really try and make sure that we're bringing as many people to the table as possible in this process to making, working together with a unified vision for what we see for, the city of Phoenix, for the Midtown area, the West Side area, the Maryville area, et cetera. And so that's kind of been the core goal of these meetings, is meeting with people, trying to bring that vision to the table as a community to decide how we move this city forward.
So is this your first time running for office?
It is not. So I actually ran a wonderful, unsuccessful campaign in 2010, and it was a great learning experience. In that campaign, I actually personally knocked on 22,000 doors, which...
Wow. That's a lot of knocking.
It was. We wore out a couple pair of shoes, but that's the goal of this campaign as well. And my dad and I actually bought the new Nike Fuel Band so that way we can compete on the weekends for who's knocking on the most doors. So the grassroots side of this, as you know, is extremely important.
Well, you're telling me, too, when you're doing that, because we're talking about the hail, off the air. You said that was back when it was hailing real hard a couple of years ago. And tell me about that.
Yeah, so we were out knocking on doors, and I'm sure most people remember in 2010 because it was the largest hailstorm, and I think it was the largest insurance claim in the state of Arizona's history. But my car literally from head to toe got hail damage along with a couple of family members, so I had to make up for that by buying a couple lunches, but which is about the best we could do. But yeah, it was hail damage. I saw that as kind of a tough sign in the 2010 election, but this one seems to be snow and slush, so perhaps it's a positive
it's a good sign
for how we can move forward.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen again. It was probably around the same time of year, was it? Or I'd have to look that up. But I just got lunch about an hour ago. It wasn't that bad. I see it just looking out the window. It stopped hailing, but it wasn't snowball sized. It was more like little pellet sized. All right, as you can tell by the music, we got to take our break. But I'm talking to Justin Johnson, who's running for Phoenix City Council. And as I teased you, the listening audience, early in the show, we have Dennis Miller in the final segment. This is Jack Wilinchek, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I love you, son. So it hurts when you say I hate you. I'm your mother. I'm tired of you disrespecting me when you don't get your way. I work hard to make sure you have everything you need. I should be able to ask you to get out of bed in the morning without a fight. So from now on, things are going to be different. I ordered the Total Transformation Program. We're not going to scream and fight anymore. I'm going to tell you what to do in a different way, and you're going to do it. You're not going to call me ugly names anymore, and if you do, you're going to get consequences that'll keep you from calling me ugly names. We're not going to do things your way anymore, son. We're going to do things the Total Transformation way.
Get the Total Transformation free. Just order the program, tell us how it works for you, and you can keep it for free. Call 1-800-241-1419. 1-800-241-1419. Call now. 1-800-241-1419. 1-800-241-1419.
Wilinchek & Bartness, recently named Arizona's top real estate law firm, provides the quality business litigation and mediation services that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Dennis Wilinchek was voted Best Trial Attorney by Arizona Foothills Magazine 2013 and named one of Arizona's top-rated lawyers. For professional, yet very personal legal representation, call Wilinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Hi, Rick and Dave Elton here.
The Real Estate Bros on KFNX.
Have you ever pulled in front of a listing, can't get a hold of anyone, and just wanted more info and photos?
That is so annoying.
Well, we have an app for you. Simply text GETAPP to 32323. It's completely free and downloads right to your mobile device.
So any real estate sign across the valley, text GETAPP to 832-322-3223.
And get all the MLS info right to your phone.
Immediately.
Elton Realty, putting real estate in the palm of your hand.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. This month, the HCL Detox Kit is on special. This is your opportunity to stock up on the single most important supplement for all of us who must eat cooked food when all of us mammals were designed for raw food. Just imagine, you may be able to get a second chance at healthier years by supporting the body's natural cellular remethylation and best digestion. Don't be fooled. These benefits only come from natural source products like those found in our HCL Detox Kit. Don't eat cooked food without it. Get three kits for the price of two. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447. Experience nutrition that really works.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Welcome back to Legalese, Jack Wilinchek, and hopefully the hail out there wasn't breaking anybody's cars, but we're back to the show, and I'm talking to Justin Johnson today, who's running for the Phoenix City Council, the son of former Phoenix Mayor Paul Johnson. And, you know, I'd hope that name recognizability helps you a little bit, but then again, it's not a name like Wilinchek that, you know, everybody would recognize the name Wilinchek. Unfortunately, it's Johnson, so I don't know if people necessarily connect you with your dad. They should, because he was a great mayor. And again, he was not only the youngest, but he was one of the longest serving mayors, I think. Is that accurate?
Actually,
no,
I don't think so. He served for 5 years. Obviously think he was a great mayor. Again, I am a little bit biased in my opinion on that one, but
we're all biased in this room.
He's been a great dad. He's been a huge inspiration in my life. He's a big fan of both my children, obviously, and they're big fans of him back. I mean, they absolutely love him. So he really has done a lot of good things for the community. And I could tell you a quick story, if I may.
So, go ahead.
In my last campaign, when we were knocking on doors, I knocked on Democrat, Republican, Independent doors alike. We ran a nonpartisan campaign, even though it was a partisan campaign, because we liked the nonpartisan component.
Yeah.
And so I knocked on a guy's door. Shook his hand, introduced myself, and he said, 21 years ago, a young man came and knocked on my door, and he said, I'm a Republican, but here's what I could tell you. He knocked on my door, shook my hand, I got the chance to meet him, I supported him, and his name was Paul Johnson. I don't suppose you know him, do you? And I said, actually, that was my dad. So it was a really great story. He ended up posting it on the website, and it was just neat to have that, that recognition.
Sure, but, sure. Yeah, you mentioned that it's technically a nonpartisan race, and you got me thinking. By the way, there was that because of course you're running now, and I guess you'd call it an off year for elections. I mean, you don't have the major federal elections this year.
Correct.
I think there was a movement to change that, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm getting my thoughts mixed up here. There was a movement to change that, but that's not what your dad was involved in. He was involved with a separate movement to something to do with elections.
Correct. So
yeah, go ahead.
He's always been a big advocate of nonpartisan politics, as I have myself. I mean, and he had actually worked on a proposition called Prop 121, which was meant to change it
to primaries.
Top two primaries, similar to what they have in a couple of different cities, or states, sorry, which is, I think DC was one of them. California's another. His big goal is ultimately to make it nonpartisan,
right.
Similar to Nebraska.
That's the point to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes sense, but I guess as you know, like any other change, it gets people a little scared, especially if you like that party structure, which some people are just comfortable with. That was it. That's what I was thinking of, and you're right. The point to that would be to make it less partisan, which certainly it seems like a great idea to me. But I can never speak to what the voters are thinking.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, realistically, economic development shouldn't be a partisan issue, and education
right.
shouldn't be a partisan issue. It should be, about trying to improve the, our status in terms of job creation, job growth, in terms of improving our education, improving our neighborhoods. Those are nonpartisan issues, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. But going back to the other issue, which I brought up, and I guess had nothing to do with your dad, but I thought of it anyway. this is an off year election, and I know that has a certain effect on the electorate. I mean, I think fewer people end up turning out in an off year election. So I don't know if you have any numbers on that, or I know it's substantially less than the number of people who usually do get out and vote. So I think it's probably even more critical for you to be doing what you're doing the grassroots kind of thing, knocking on doors, you know, because people aren't necessarily going to be going out there and voting anyway. There's not a big federal election that they're going to turn out for. I know there was a movement to change that too in the city of Phoenix, and I know other cities have that same kind of off-year election schedule. But we'll stay on the subject of your dad just a little bit longer. I was going to ask you what inspired you to run. I'm guessing he's a big part of it.
Well, I mean, yes, having grown up in the political arena, I mean, you know, I really had the opportunity to see the ins and outs of that field. But truthfully, it also, to a certain degree, when I was younger, pushed me away from politics because, right. You know, I missed my dad. And actually, another story, you know, when I was a little kid, I wanted to see him so much that I said, I hope that Ann Lynch wins. And that was when I was running against Ann Lynch, you know, just being ornery, obviously. But, you know, I loved my dad, and I, you know, like I said, he was a great dad, so I wanted to be around him. But, you know, I do get the sense, after having children of my own and after having started a small construction company, the impact that government actually starts to play in their role. And, as a parent, you know, you hope to really – the goal is to leave a positive future and positive outcome for, you know, our children as they grow up. So they grow up in a city that, you know, has expressed the diversity that this city has and has – you know, grown as much as it has and continues to grow in a responsible but, you know, in a progressive way. And we work at that, you know, we work on that every day and trying to teach our children that, you know, they have not only the ability but the responsibility to take part in their community. But, you know, having children and starting a company, you really start to see the impact that politics and that our elected officials make on those two items. And it's just something that has really been the true inspiration for me to run.
I really like your answer to that because as a young man, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, if I run for office someday, that's exactly the way I'd answer it too. Because as you get older, you take on more responsibilities, just like you're saying, whether it's, you know, a job or kids, and you start to see the importance that government has in people's lives. I mean, you can stick your head in the sand and pretend like it doesn't, but it does. You know, especially when you're running a business. You know, you see, especially in construction industry, you see just the way the city, you know, has to, the way the city regulates things and the way that the law really matters to you. I have to say, as a young man, I have the exact same feeling that, you know, as we get older and more mature, we start to realize, hey, voting matters. You know, I mean, sure, my grandma's always, you know, read through all the booklets and, you know, like learned, you know, studied up on the candidates and really takes it seriously. By the way, I know my grandma listens to the show, so there's my shout out to grandma. But
Jack for city council.
But as you get older, you start to take these things more seriously, and you start to realize they have a lot more importance than you ever did before.
Yeah, you know, so I graduated in college in 2004 and decided in 2005 to partner with my dad and create a home building company. And so, you know, we went down to the city. After we, you know, drew up all of our construction documents in 2006, and we started submitting plans for review. Obviously, you know, down at the city, that process ended up taking about 12 months for one of our projects, and it actually took 2 years for the second project. You know, and at that point, you know, the economy started slipping, and it was tough, you know, to start building a lot of the homes that we had designed. And, you know, the one thing that I've realized is government regulations sometimes can actually, you know, gum up the works and make it tougher for us to run successful operations and successful companies. And, you know, which is why I actually sat on a board to help streamline that process, which was the DSD streamlining process. It was an ad hoc committee that was formed by Councilman Simplot and Councilman DeCiccio. And it, you know, it was really meant to serve as our ability to try and be the best place in the country to do business. And I think we should strive for that every day at the City of Phoenix. And going through that process, you really learn how much tougher those type of regulations and processes can really create for a small construction company or a development company or any kind of business in the City of Phoenix.
Exactly. Yeah, like you say, there's that one moment where you realize, wow, the government does do something. And it has the power to really seriously hurt people or seriously help them. So I know just what you're talking about.
And we should be in the business of helping.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, well, besides your dad, who else, if you had to name some political influences, who else you think has influenced you?
Sure. There are lots of folks, I would say, that have influenced my life. Actually, Councilwoman Thelda Williams, who is one of the hosts tonight of my campaign kickoff at the University Club. Yeah, I'm pretty much going to name the people that are co-hosting the event tonight because they really have been an inspiration. I mean, Councilwoman Thelda Williams, you know, really has balanced this nonpartisan approach to issues. And, you know, she evaluates items on merit. If she believes in them, she supports them. And if she doesn't, she doesn't. And, you know, the other elected officials that have done that in their life, Congressman Harry Mitchell, who is also co-hosting the event, our former legislator, Chris Hurstam, who actually served as chief of staff for three different governors, two of which were Republican, one of which was a Democrat. So if that doesn't show you the nonpartisan approach that he's able to take and also the leadership that he has to actually get involved, you know, to try and make a difference, I mean, it's just inspirational. Sorry. The other two council members would be Councilman Dave Siebert and our former Councilman Claude Maddox. So. Mm-hmm. All have been really helpful, really inspirational, and have taught me a lot in my political landscaping. So,
yeah, that's good. All right, we got just a little bit of time here before we got to take our break. But I don't know if you can answer this within, I think, the minute we have. You probably can't, so we'll start the next segment with this. But I'd like to ask you how, you know, you think you being a younger guy, what do you think that – whether you think that will be helpful, or you think the next generation of politicians can accomplish more than the older generation ever did. But we do have to take the break, as you can tell by the music. This is Jack Wilinchek, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
NBC News Radio, I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. 9 days and counting before across-the-board federal budget cuts go into effect. Today, the Pentagon warned Congress hundreds of thousands of civilian workers could lose a day of work every week of the so-called sequester. Jessica Wright is Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel.
These critical members of our workforce, they work in our depots. They maintain and repair our tanks, our aircrafts, our ships. They teach our kids. They care for our children. They provide medical treatment to all of our beneficiaries.
Former Illinois Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. has pled guilty in federal court to spending $750,000 in campaign funds on personal items. He'll be sentenced in June and could face up to 5 years in prison and $100,000 in fines. Stocks closed lower on Wall Street. The S&P 500 had its biggest loss of the year, down 19 points. The Dow lost 108 points, and the Nasdaq finished off 49 points. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio. Emotional testimony at the Jody Arias murder trial about the time that she killed ex-boyfriend Travis Alexander in what she said was self-defense.
I was in the bathroom. I remember dropping the knife, and it clanged to the tile. It made a big noise. And I just remember screaming.
She said she doesn't actually remember the stabbing. Tucson gets a lot of measurable snow today.
Snowfall across southeast Arizona is not too rare of a thing. But as far as it getting down to elevations below, 2,500 feet or 2,000 feet, is fairly uncommon.
Mesa police had to shoot a woman who threatened them. They wanted to arrest her for an outstanding warrant.
The officer, of course, was giving commands for her to drop the weapon, which she did not do. And at some point, she began to raise her arm. And at that point, the officer discharged.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic is the service of the 99 cent only store. Freeways are flowing very well right now. However, we do have an accident westbound US 60 at I-10. That's going to create some problems. Surface street accidents, 19th Avenue and Indian School, 32nd Street north of McDowell, and 40th Street and McDowell. 99 cent only stores makes cleaning a cinch with name brand cleaning supplies like Spick and Span spray cleaner, Ajax cleanser with bleach, all for only 99.99 cents each. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. A pretty good cold winter storm moving through with snow level down to 3,000 feet. Scattered showers gradually tapering off for us. Some pretty good totals. 58 tomorrow under partly cloudy skies. 62 on Friday. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we are at 48 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
I have the answer. Call me for this link, and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient-dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
There's nothing more desirable and rare than a piece of vintage jewelry.
I couldn't agree more.
And for the finest collection and lowest prices in estate jewelry, shop Lundin Gold.
Classic watches with diamond bezels, elegant designs in precious stones, diamond rings, bracelets, earrings.
Ageless designs from the world's iconic designers. Names you know. Purchased from estates, their luster restored, and placed on sale at remarkable prices. Lundin Gold is also the name you know and depend upon for the finest in today's jewelry. If you're looking for an engagement ring, then Lundin Gold is your first stop. We sell diamonds around the world, and when you buy from us, not only will you get the diamond she'll love, but you'll pay the very same direct diamond dealer price. So for the latest in today's jewelry,
or estate jewelry,
shop Lundin Gold with 3 Valley locations, Arrowhead, Chandler, Scottsdale,
or online at LondonGold.com.
Lundin Gold, it's the best.
Now it's a legal matter, baby. You got me on the run. It's a legal matter, baby. A legal matter from now on.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Willinchek. And I'm talking to Justin Johnson, who's running for Phoenix City Council. And, you know, before I get back to talking to him, I'll tease the last segment of the show again. We have Dennis Miller coming on, who, as all of you know, has a show on KFNX. And we'll be talking to him about his upcoming visit to Phoenix for the Boulder and Fresher Tour. So that's in the last segment of the show. Yeah, back to you, Justin. And thanks again for coming on the show.
Again, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.
Absolutely. So I think the question I was going to ask you right before we went to the break there was you know, being a younger guy, and I feel silly saying that because I think I'm younger than you are, but do you think that the next generation of politicians is going to, I don't know, is it going to be different than the current generation, or are us young guys, are we going to, you know, have less of the gridlock, less of the trouble that that the current generation has?
Well, I mean, I would say that, you know, first, I'm 32 years old, so I still like to think that is pretty young. But
yeah.
You know, there is a new generation out there that is looking to get involved. That's looking to go out and make a difference. And there definitely is a common theme, and that is, you know, we want a brighter outlook for the city of Phoenix, and we want things to keep continuing down the path that they're going on, but, you know, in a more hip, cool kind of young professional environment. You know, the great thing is, as I mentioned before, you know, we're out meeting with neighborhood leaders and talking to some of the different folks on the historic preservation. And, you know, there's out in the Phoenix Neighborhood Historic Preservation Coalition, you know, the last president of the coalition was, I think he's about 35 years old. His name is Steve Procaccini. The new leader is actually 28 years old. His name's Will Novak. And so there really is this sense in this community that, you know, hey, we've held the torch for so long and, you know, we've pushed to make a difference, but it's time to pass that torch because we want to get the next generation energized about, you know, what we're doing and about how we, you know, get them involved in this process. And so that's been really inspirational as we, you know, go out and meet with some of the different folks and talk to them about, you know, because in my last campaign, I mean, I literally would go to doors and people would say, "You're way too young. Get out of here." You know, and it was like, wait a minute, you know, we got to get people excited about this kind of stuff. You know, it is not that sense right now. It's, you know, they're excited to see, you know, a young, fresh face that's out there with energy, ideas, and ready to bring people to the table from all different generations and make a difference in the city and keep the city moving forward.
Yeah. Well, as we were talking at the top of the show, too, I mean, your dad was a real young guy when you did this. So, you know, it worked for him, right?
Absolutely. Although the family photos were always a little bit awkward. My mom was about 5'4", my brother was 5'8", and I'm 5'10", and my dad was 6'7". So we usually had to stand on, like, boxes and stuff to make sure that it wasn't too cumbersome. But
you know, I was telling you off the air, and I was debating whether to bring up on the air, but I do remember your dad coming to my elementary school when I was a kid, and I just remember it was funny because you know, we were all young kids, and at some point he asked if we had any questions. Of course, nobody had any questions, but I remember I was the only one who raised my hand, and the reason was because somebody's nudging me in the back and telling me, "Hey, you should ask him this, you should ask him this." It's probably one of the guys, you know, working with your dad, and I don't blame him. You know, nobody was asking. Nobody had anything to ask, but I always thought that was funny.
You know, it was great. I mean, he actually came out and spoke to my elementary school as well. And, you know, I can remember when he was walking up, there were a couple of parents that would say, "Hey, that's Terry Goddard." And it was, so, you know, he's always loved being involved and trying to inspire a younger generation, even at the elementary level.
Well, you got
to
respect that. Even you know, the reason I remember it was because he was the only politician who ever came to visit my elementary school. Yeah. He was the only one. So that's why it always stuck out in my head. You got to respect that. That kind of I like that kind of grassroots, like you're talking about, the kind of grassroots reach out to people, because they do. They appreciate it. I mean, to this day, he's probably the one politician I'd really remember from my childhood because he came to visit our school.
You know, I always say the number one thing that a councilman or mayor can do is actually be accessible, you know, and you know, going out and attending classroom visits and doing that sort of thing. That's all about accessibility. You know, at the end of the day, people really just want to be heard. They want, you know, to see that you're actively involved in the community. And that's something that he did a great job with, and I'm hoping to do the same.
Yeah. All right. You know, unfortunately, we just got this one segment to talk, but why don't you talk a little bit about what you would do if you get in there as city councilman. You may even want to just explain generally what the duties of a city councilman are. For those of those people in the audience who aren't really familiar with what the city councilman does, go ahead.
Sure. So the responsibility, I guess, of a councilman is to be the voice for the community. It entails, you know, I mentioned before, I went to, you know, the Loma Linda Neighborhood Association, the Willow Neighborhood Association, actually SAMA, which is the 7th Avenue Merchants Association. It's the coalition of businesses along the Melrose Corridor. It's going to all of those different neighborhoods associations, listening to what their concerns are, things they want done, fixing, you know, potholes,
listening,
adding
people,
lights, cutting down on cut-through traffic. You know, I mean, they're practical issues that are really have kind of more of a tangible feel to them because they're things that have direct impacts, right? I mean, when you go home and you drive over a speed bump, that's the city. When you are waiting at a stoplight, you know, that seems to be in an awkward position, but it's obviously doing its job, that's part of the city.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, we actually sent out our first email blast, which was more of a listen first and then start discussing issues later. And in that email blast, the top three issues that really have become clear to me, the first is historic preservation. As I mentioned before, 27 of the 35 historic districts are actually in District 4. And a lot of people just see that as a simple overlay. But the truth is it's a economic development tool here for the city because, you know, they can, like, as I mentioned before, it's young professionals, young starting up families, you know, young people starting up families that are looking for hip, cool, new places to go to. And the commercial development actually kind of, you know, creates a similar feel to those kind of individuals. The second piece is actually the protecting the families that are within the home. You know, there's actually a couple and that lives over in the Loma Linda area. They're named Becky and Lucas. And they were telling me a story about, you know, they were sleeping in their bed and a gunshot rang across their room and a slug hit their wall. And, you know, had they not have been sleeping, you know, they were concerned they could have been hit. So, you know, they're a young couple. They're probably 24 or 25 years old, you know, and they're concerned not only about walking around in their neighborhood, but now in their own home. And that's, you know, that's something we have to work with the police department on to get them involved, because that has just as much of an impact on economic development as it does on neighborhoods and communities. And then the third piece is urban infill. You know, we have if you drive up and down Central Avenue, there's almost a dozen vacant lots, you know. Urban infill is definitely something that this community as a whole is interested in. I know that typically, you know, development and you know, that type of industry is seen as a negative. But the truth is, this community wants new development. They want something on Central McDowell. They want to see a revitalized Park Central, which is arguably the best piece of retail in the city of Phoenix, mm-hmm. and especially in the Central City area. And yeah, so those are definitely the three discussions that I've been having with neighborhood leaders and business leaders inside the community on how we can address that moving forward.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I guess I've never heard that term before, urban infill, but that makes a lot of sense to me. There's a lot of vacant land, and I used to live downtown. I mean, there's a lot of empty buildings down there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I see what you're saying there. You've got the two competing, I guess, interests in because, of course, there's a lot of very, you know, pretty historic buildings downtown, you know, going back at least 100 years. And, you know, you want to keep a lot of those, but at the same time, you got to redevelop down there. So that makes a lot of sense to me. You mentioned safety, too. I'm sorry to hear that people have concerns about safety, because I always felt very safe living downtown. I always felt like there was a good police presence down there. But I could see how kind of getting a little bit further away from downtown, there's definitely kind of a gray area there where, I think you were even saying that the two people who had a problem, had a concern about safety, were kind of living in that historic area around there.
Yeah, they're in the Loma Linda area, which is just east of the 51.
Yeah, I could see that.
But, you know, the historic commercial buildings can also be a very unique type of product that can be utilized, such as the work that they did on 7th Avenue and McDowell Road. A company went in there and actually purchased, you know, where the NYPD pizza they actually went in and purchased that building and utilized the existing structure and just made simple improvements to the inside. And it is actually a really neat building. If you go into it today, it doesn't necessarily feel like a standard NYPD pizza or Habit Burger. I mean, it looks really cool from the outside. People in the community walk to it, you know, and it's really got a great feel.
Yeah, no, I have been through there. It's they did a good job redeveloping that area.
They did.
I'd like to see more of that downtown.
And that is also something that a council member takes part in. I mean, that's something Councilman Michael Nowakowski and Tom Simplot actually worked together on to bring that kind of improvements along McDowell Road.
Yeah, it's good to hear. I know you said you've run for office before, but have you had any other kind of experience, you know, working with the city? Or you mentioned that you were on a board, too, I think.
Yes. So I actually served on the Alhambra Village back in 2006 to 2008, approximately. I currently serve on the Block Watch Grant Oversight Committee. They oversee all of the grant applications that come through before they go to the council members, and they basically rate them on a scale and deciding how we allocate the funding for block watches. And the third piece is that I actually recently got appointed to by actually Mayor Greg Stanton is the Planning Commission. So I'm pretty excited to get started on that as well.
Yeah, that's great. All right, we've just got a couple minutes here before we got to go to our break. And as I said at the top of the show, in the next segment, we've got a pre-taped segment with Dennis Miller. But
which I'm sure is going to be much more exciting.
No, are you kidding me? I'm excited. I'm terribly excited. No, really, I am excited. And I'll give you the opportunity here with the minute or so we have left. You know, get those voters excited. Tell them why you should be the next Phoenix City Council person.
I appreciate that. As I mentioned before, the three issues, I mean, those are definitely a top priority. But this seat is not something that anybody's entitled to. It's something that's going to take hard work. It needs to be a seat that somebody earns. And I can promise you, I won't get outworked. I'll be out there every day knocking on doors, meeting with neighborhood leaders. And, you know, my goal is to do another 22,000 doors and hopefully
rain, sleet, or snow.
Rain,
hail,
sleet,
right?
Or snow. And hopefully no hail this time. I can handle the rain. But the hail was a little bit rough last time. So, but yeah, I mean, it takes hard work. And I think ultimately, at the end of the day, these voters like to see somebody that is going to work hard both in the campaign and as their city councilman, but also remember to continue to be accessible, to show up to the neighborhood association meetings and be there for them.
All right. I want to thank you again for coming on the show. That's Justin Johnson. What's the website again? People want to find out more about you?
www.johnsonforphoenix.com. And that's F-O-R. Johnsonforphoenix.com.
All right. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks,
and next
I
segment, we got
it.
Dennis Miller.
Willinchek & Bartness, recently named Arizona's top real estate law firm, provides the quality business litigation and mediation services that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Dennis Willinchek was voted Best Trial Attorney by Arizona Foothills Magazine 2013 and named one of Arizona's top-rated lawyers. For professional, yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Fountain Air is a locally owned air conditioning and heating contractor. Whether it's a new installation or routine service, they have over 25 years of experience and repair all makes and models. Make it your New Year's resolution to have your air conditioner, furnace, or heat pump service repaired or replaced. Fountain Air will only charge a $55 service call, or if you need a new unit, you will get up to $500 off your install price when you mention KFNX. So call Fountain Air now at 480-984-7300. That's 480-984-7300 or online at fountainair.com.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon with an invitation to come and tour Dreamcatcher Assisted Living Homes. Even if you're not ready to make the decision, come anyway, see what we do. Smell the home-cooked meals, meet our caregivers, ask questions, pet the dog, and stay for lunch. At Dreamcatcher, we're about assisting our family of residents to live life to the fullest. We celebrate life. On the serious side, both Dreamcatcher homes are licensed and our professional caregivers are certified at the highest level of care. That means we're able to care for residents with multiple serious health issues. We work closely with the best hospices, and we've earned a solid reputation with state and local agencies, doctors, nurses, hospice, but most important, with the residents we serve and their families. And right now, we have openings. If you're paying over $4,000 a month and are charged extra for every little thing, call and talk to Gail, 602-410-6671. That's 602-410-6671 or online at dreamcatcheraz.com. Dreamcatcheraz.com.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night!
Pop culture has turned the brain into the body's new appendix. No real function, and it could quite possibly blow up and kill you. As organs go, you just don't need your brain anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm certain in the very near future, people will go to the hospital, or should I say turn on the hospital channel, and get their brains taken out, just as a precaution.
We're here with Dennis Miller, and Dennis is bringing his bolder and fresher tour to Comerica Theater in Phoenix, February 22nd, with, quote, Officer Bill O'Reilly, whatever that means. Dennis, welcome to our show. You have a show on KFNX, and we're thrilled about that. But who's the bolder and who's the fresher?
Let me see. O'Reilly always does the intro. I go first, and he introduces me as the fresher part. I think I'm the fresher. I figured that.
He's got to be the fresher.
Yeah, I'd rather be the fresher part.
And he's the bolder part, and then we come together at the end, and we get a bold on.
Yeah. And what does Officer Bill O'Reilly exactly mean?
I don't know. I told O'Reilly, you know, he's a Catholic, and he always reminds me when I was a kid, we had this big Mick beat cop in our neighborhood.
He does look like that.
Stick, you know,
Yeah, stick on the
leather thing, and he'd walk around and, you know, just whap.
Right. That's what he looks like.
So I told O'Reilly, you remind me of America's big Mick beat cop.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you on that. Tell us a little bit about the show you're doing in Phoenix.
I do 35 minutes of comedy. O'Reilly comes on, does 35 minutes of O'Reilly, which is more avuncular, more stories, more about how the factor evolved. And then we take a break, then we come out and do 35 minutes of Q&A with the crowd. A little kabuki theater,
yeah.
And we sing You Don't Bring Me Flowers to each other, but not in the same studio.
Oh, sounds interesting.
hey, don't piss on my life,
right, baby. Right. Now, listen, though, why don't you... why didn't you honestly debate Jon Stewart as opposed to Bill O'Reilly without, you know, putting Bill O'Reilly down?
Oh, I don't think they could sell tickets like those two. They're big players, man. I'm just a I'm just a comedian, a Johnny Appleseed out in the hinterland.
Yeah, but you're so much quicker and sharper, in all honesty.
I go way back with John, too. I don't want to be on stage with John. But
really?
John
okay.
and I don't agree on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's
we agree on other things, but I got friends, then there's politics, man. And can I tell you, politics not within vague hailing distance of friendship.
Well, I got you. I mean, politics and comedy go kind of hand in hand. Maybe you're synonymous, but...
Well, when you're the Weekend Update anchor for 6 years, yeah, you kind of get pegged.
Speaking of which, I noted that Al Franken...
What is the other guy? Does he do sign for the people watching the show through the window?
Yeah. He's on the video part.
All right, beautiful.
And the laugh track.
Yes. And my daughter's here, too, by the way.
What are you, like Roebuck in the Sears and Roebuck equation?
No, my daughter's here, who just graduated college. She notes that your son is about her age, so she wanted to know what he does.
He's a funny kid. He's just finding his way right now, looking to see what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's your daughter doing?
Well, she was first runner-up the last 2 years in Miss Arizona pageant.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting, man. Congratulations, kiddo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then she's
well,
going to law school.
Well, you while the iron's hot and get that, you know, like the Alabama quarterback's girl.
Yeah, right.
She
exactly.
got glimpsed once,
yeah.
And now I see her down at the Super Bowl. She's got a gig on some show, so
yeah,
stay
that.
Alert, kiddo. It happens in a second, then you got to step through that door.
Yeah.
That's from her boyfriend, though, so.
Yeah, but I wanted to ask you before I forget. You were at one time football announcer, right?
I did Monday Night Football for 2 years. I was on ABC. And then Madden, John Madden, who's the best
yeah.
who ever did it,
yeah.
left Fox. And
right.
he wanted the gig, and I knew I was dead later that afternoon. I
yeah.
called Fouts and said, we're gone, man. It's G. Gordon Liddy time. Just tell me what street corner you want me on when I get shot. I mean, innocence getting hit in the crossfire.
Right.
And we got whacked within 3 hours. But I would have whacked me, too. It's John Madden. He's the best who ever did it. Trust me.
Yeah.
If I'm ever in L.A. on any given night and I want to get up at the Improv to do some stand-up comedy and Madden's on stage, I better haul his fat ass off, too. That's
yeah.
the way the world works.
Yeah, that's true. You actually then are a big football fan.
Yeah, I like football a lot. When are you guys getting a team in Arizona?
Never. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Kevin looked he looked a little shaky, man. It's
shaky,
easy
yeah. He had like 2 minutes.
The number two quarterback in Philly. But you got to come out to the desert and be
yeah.
the man. It's a little harder, man.
Actually, Katie went to school with Nick Foles, you know, at U of A.
He's got to get his mullet together, man. It's 2013.
Yeah,
what's with the hairdo?
Needs
he's
a haircut.
Like Bucky Covington on Star Search.
Speaking of hairdos, I honestly didn't remember the hairdo part, I got to say.
All right. Well, it was on Monday Night Football, 2 years, got fired. Used to wear my hair longer, more akin to the time.
Right.
Borderline mullet. Kind of weird when I look back on it.
Right.
But you know what? Everybody should have a bad hairdo in their life.
Here's another interesting little factoid that we found out. Somebody told me that you had 5 Emmys in 9 years, which I think is incredible. I didn't know that.
I get one more, I can hold 3 pieces of corn on the cob.
What were they for? Emmys meaning for best?
One was I had a sitcom in the 70s called
yeah.
That Zany Dennis.
Oh, I remember
one
that.
For
I watched that all the time.
And then in the 80s, I was an overseas correspondent in Guam, and I won 2 News Emmys for that. And the third one was called An Evening with Carol Burnett, where I played Carol Burnett.
Yeah, I remember all of them. Very well. They were all terrific.
Thank you, my friend.
I have them on DVD. But congratulations. No, that really is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, you know what? Like I said, it's a flattering thing, but it's a past thing. So
yeah, no, but we really are fans. I mean, no kidding.
Oh, I get it, man. I'm just teasing you a little,
for God's sakes.
You've been watching me long enough.
You're right.
You know
you're
I
right.
tear that a new ass.
You're right.
I had a question. This is
all
Katie,
right,
by the way.
Here we go.
So I am the same age as your oldest son. I'm sure you know what he's going through, graduating college or whatever. I mean, I'm just assuming that you went to college. But
do you
have any advice for us out there? I mean, you really hit it fame. I was also a journalism major.
Well, listen, what you got to do is live a life for a while. And I don't mean pay attention to your business, but you got to pay attention to life, too. And then when you sort of brew for a while, like a crock pot, and you percolate, you'll start to become more yourself as you get older. Mm-hmm. There's going to come a moment where you have to balance off the fear of the unknown that you have as a young woman with the knowing that your destiny is confronting you in an instant. And until that time, I would say just tread water a little. Take it easy. In baseball or football, they say let the game come to you. Don't force it. But when that moment comes, it's probably sometime in your late 20s, mid-20s, you got to step through in a shot. You can't be tentative. You've got to be bold earlier in life, or it feeds back on you, and you're in your 50s going, why didn't I try it? So wait till the moment's right. Strike. If you fail, that's immaterial. If you succeed, that's better, but it's still immaterial. But you have to seize that moment. That's the very definition of being a human being.
That's really great advice.
Did you kind of like try out a bunch of stuff and then you?
Yeah. I was a loser, kiddo. You know what I mean? Well, don't judge yourself too harshly when you're young. I was like a flower truck driver and an ice cream scoop. I had a college degree. I was scooping ice cream because I hadn't leavened enough. You know, I didn't believe in myself enough. I didn't trust the brand. And eventually I got a little more comfortable with myself. I said, man, you're being nastier to yourself than you are to strangers you meet who are in trouble. Mm-hmm. So don't be tough on yourself, and just tread water, date some nice guys, have some nice dinner, see some exotic places, and then that moment comes, and then get your game face on, and go get it, and don't let anybody get in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's great advice. Were you a wise guy in high school?
Nah, I was a quiet kid.
You were quiet?
Yeah, I am, except when I'm in business, guys, but I'm...
Yeah.
I don't want to do that whiny thing about I'm shy, but I shut up most of the time.
Really?
All right, brother, I got to run
now. Well, listen, seriously, we very much appreciate you taking the time.
All right, I hope you're okay. I was just slapping you around. That's what I do.
Hey, I'm a lawyer. I can take anything, right?
All right, baby, go
All
get
right.
Me.
You take
good
care,
luck,
good luck to you on your show. This is Legalese, and thanks to Dennis Miller for appearing on our show. Look forward to seeing him in Phoenix.
Chamber Business Hour, the perfect blend of business and politics. Chamber Business Hour every Saturday at 4 p.m. Brought to you by the North Scottsdale Chamber of Commerce. To be a guest on Chamber Business Hour or to sponsor the program, contact the North Scottsdale Chamber at 480-889-8987. That's 480-889-8987 or visit northscottsdalechamber.org. Chamber Business Hour every Saturday at 4 p.m.
Honestly, provocative talk radio on the Lars Larson Show.
These so-called right-to-work laws, they don't have to do with economics. They have everything to do with politics.
Huh? What's he talking about?
What they're really talking about is giving you the right to work for less money.
The state of Michigan passing the right-to-work law that says a union can't force you to be a member of the union just because you happen to work in a certain workplace. And now the president is advocating against that worker freedom.
I'm Lars Larson. Listen to me weekdays right here on Independent Talk. 1100 KFNX.
You're listening to Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. Cave Creek, Phoenix. A division of Premier Radio Stations. The home of the Dennis